The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
People, let's wake up in the den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani. And yes, it's the NFL theme music. And why not? It is NFL draft day, baby. I hope you guys are feeling just as excited as we are here at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. I'm definitely the most excited. Well, I don't know, arguably with Paul, maybe. We'll see how it goes. The most excited for today because my team, the Chicago Bears, own the number one overall draft pick. And by all indication, we'll select Caleb Williams. So I am choosing to put my positive Paul hat on today and believe that the Chicago Bears will make all of the correct decisions that will not steer this franchise wrong any longer, and they will be headed in the right direction as opposed to what it's been like for the last few years. So for now, or at least make all the right decisions in the first round. Obviously, you never really know if any draft pick, whether they be number one overall or if we have a Tom Brady situation getting drafted really late, you never know who's gonna work out, and I'm okay with that. But if you try to overthink things and make all these type of trades and whatnot, i.e. Mitch Trubisky debacle for the Bears, then you know what? I have a right as a fan to be upset. But we'll see what happens. Hope you guys are just as excited and looking forward to your teams that they're going to play. If you guys want to chime in with any of your thoughts for the NFL draft today, or if you just want to talk about your excitement, feel free to give us a text at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Coming up this afternoon, however, it will be Paul Brecht, Michael Lescarro, and myself. We are bringing you guys a three-hour NFL draft special right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network with our local team here from 2 to 5 o'clock p.m. this afternoon. So the NFL draft, or at least the official program of the draft, starts at 2 o'clock p.m. So we'll definitely give you the pick-by-pick updates on who is getting drafted in the first round, as well as our reactions. Probably some of our true and real reactions when our teams select their players. If you guys are curious, just a real recap. So I'm a Bears fan. Paul's a Jets fan. Michael is a Rams fan. Well, Michael and Allen. Kyle Galdera is a Green Bay Packers fan. Fortunately, we are still friends, and I forgive him for that. And then our AC Custodio is a New York Giants fan. So we're kind of spread out all over the place, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So we hope you guys tune in this afternoon. We'll probably have Kyle chime in a little bit in the show as well. Coming up today, however, since it is NFL draft day, and we like to have a lot of fun here, going to welcome in someone that has experience playing in the NFL, and especially on one of Paul's teams, actually both Paul and Michael's team, Greg Salas, a former UHN NFL wide receiver. He'll call into the show coming up probably the second half of the show sometime. He does have all that responsibility with taking the kids to school. So we hope to chat with him about just what this kind of day means for a young aspiring player, especially a player like himself who played at the University of Hawaii, where you're not necessarily always looked at like you are at the Power Five schools, but he was able to make it big and, hey, got some highlights to his name in the NFL, got a good payday, and now he's living it up here in Hawaii with his beautiful family. So we'll welcome him in a little later in the show to just talk about what this kind of day means for a lot of these young prospects. We'll definitely take you through everything going on, but just to remind everyone what the top 10 looks like in the NFL draft today, you have the Bears picking number one overall, and that pick coming via Carolina. The Commanders are at 2, the Patriots are at 3, Cardinals 4, Chargers 5, the Giants are at 6, Titans 7, Falcons 8, the Bears again at 9, and then the New York Jets at number 10. And you know, if you guys have been following the NFL draft, all of this stuff can change in an instant with trades that have been speculated, and you can see it in a lot of mock drafts. People are speculating what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do with that number four pick and whether they're going to trade out or keep it. We will see what happens. I saw some funky ones with the Chargers wanting to draft a quarterback because of Jim Harbaugh, thinking Jim Harbaugh is going to eyeball getting his former Michigan quarterback and JJ McCarthy. I don't think so, but there's a lot of craziness out there. If you take a look at the betting odds right now, no surprise that Caleb Williams will be the first overall pick quarterback out of USC at minus, let me see if I can count the right zeros, minus 100,000. Woo! Am I doing that right? 10,000, excuse me, minus 10,000. Caleb Williams, he's the only one at minus money right now. Everyone else at plus money for that first overall pick. They were saying something interesting in the Lombardi line in my drive over here that I was listening to that the show is on right before this one, in that it's been really, really hush-hush. Like, the circle of people that know exactly what teams are doing has become smaller and smaller. And you can tell based on the betting odds and how sharply they change. And one of the guests that was on the Lombardi line was basically saying it's been really hush-hush because you aren't seeing that type of drastic movement in the lines. So, wisely so, a lot of these teams have closed their inner circle, where before, he said, even as soon as or as recently as the Trey Lance trade, you saw a few hours before the draft started that Trey Lance was going to go number three overall, and you saw, you know, the plus money shift from minus money really drastically. So a lot of this stuff, I know that can probably have something to do with the NFL. Well, a lot of the major sports leagues now having that type of partnership with the betting market. So far, we haven't seen any type of drastic change. Caleb Williams projected to go number one overall to the Chicago Bears. And you guys know I am going to be obnoxiously happy. So you guys want to tune in for our show this afternoon to get my real reaction. I may or may not break like the microphone in excitement, or I could potentially walk out if the Chicago Bears don't even draft Caleb Williams. We'll see what happens. All right. But I do want to actually get into some of the local players to watch out for. One, at least in terms of what we've compiled. Shout out our Michael Escaro for putting together this list. Round two would be the projection for Roman Wilson, former receiver out of St. Louis and most recently at Michigan, projected to go in round two. Now, he does rank decently on this. And then when you look at the draft boards that, according to Pro Football Focus, he is the PFF rank of 42, looking pretty good so far, but he's 6'3", 212 pounds, again, out of Michigan. According to PFF, his strengths are he gets upfield very quickly via athleticism and no wasted movement out of his stance, effective vertical speed, willing and strong blocker, expanded release repertoire in 2023, reliable hands catcher, even through contact. His weaknesses, however, lateral movements are not as impressive as linear movements, short catch radius, because he's not extremely tall and doesn't have a lot of length, but he's really, I think, for the lack of his length as just a pass catcher, he makes up for with his shiftiness and his speed, which is what we saw in Michigan. Also, another weakness that PFF has listed here is that he has a difficulty getting off contact when he gets downfield. And as we know, a lot of that stuff can change in an instant when you're going against literally the best defenders in the world at the NFL level. So his player traits, route running is good, vertical ability and long speed is very good. So is his release and footwork. Does have good hands, does have good acceleration and flexibility. A run after catch contact isn't very good, as we mentioned, but he does have competitive toughness, again, for his size. His PFF grade has gone up since 2021. So in 2021, 68.4, but then now as recently as last year went to 81.5, and that's kind of where he is at. So that's one player, at least with local ties, that we are definitely looking at in the NFL draft, at least in the second round. So that's if you guys want to keep track of where Roman is going, just so we can all cheer. If you guys don't have, you know, a player or someone in the fight at the moment. Are you okay? He does have his Rams hat on. I was like, Michael Lescaro just walked into the studio, and at first I thought he was still wearing his Dodgers hat. And I'm like, Michael, it is NFL draft time. Whoops, sorry. Okay, try again.
What's good, everybody?
Oh, Michael had to deal with all of the traffic coming over from Waipahu in case anybody is stuck in it. He's just experienced that. So there you go. For Michael coming into that. As I was just getting to your list that you compiled so nicely for us with the players with the local ties here.
Nice. That took a lot of work.
That is good. And that's why we have to use it. That's part of the reason why I'm like, you know what? We'll have Michael in here to chat about his. I don't want to take all the credit because you worked so hard on this list to compile. But I was hoping you were here in the beginning. So we will definitely get into it in the second segment as well. But at least I told the beautiful people about Roman Wilson, probably the player with the most notable college career out of the local kids in this a draft coming up again, and is why he's projected to go in the second round for now. But anything can happen. And you never know. You see the other local kid in Andre Yoshivash that did pretty decent for the Cincinnati Bengals this past season as well. So it's just getting that opportunity. And even though he's a little bit undersized for an NFL receiver, as I just mentioned, Roman does definitely have that really speedy and like all that agility that he has, and just got to worry about the once he gets hit by an actual NFL caliber defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's good with him is that he played in a run heavy offense, so he had to do a lot of blocking. So he definitely has the physical aspect to him. One reason why I think that he is a good draft prospect is that he is so versatile. Because you got to think, he played at Michigan where they were a run heavy team. But he played his high school career at St. Louis, where they have the run and shoot, and they pass and pass and pass. So that's kind of cool because, you know, run and shoot, people say that doesn't necessarily translate to the next level, whether it be college or the pros. But he played in a spread system in high school. He played in a pro system in college. So wherever he goes, he can either fit in maybe as a, you know, as a Z receiver off the line or maybe in the slot. So He's going to be a one guy that you can get. And one thing that is important to note is that he's a winner. He won a state championship. Mm-hmm. He won a national championship. Why not add a Super Bowl to that resume?
And he has the most recent experience playing under a now, well, I guess at the time, former and now again NFL type of coach. So guarantee Jim Harbaugh was teaching all of them kind of that NFL mentality in that locker room. So he's already, I believe, mentally prepared. Physically, you just mentioned there are other things that he has experience doing that he can make up for. And again, this is just PFF grades. It's just what will translate into the NFL. Like I mentioned, Andre Yoshivash is probably the one that, hey, went a little late, but and didn't even have like that big time college experience coming out of Princeton. But look at how well he's doing so far. So the future is bright for Roman Wilson. Again, someone to watch out for when it comes to players with Hawaii ties. Going in the second round, potentially, fingers crossed. All right, we'll get to more of this list of local players to watch out for, but we got to take a break, so we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Party rock!
Party rock! Ku'ule Agbayani and Michael Lescaro taking you through the NFL draft day. Again, tune in this afternoon, though. We will bring you the pick-by-pick breakdown for the NFL draft beginning at 2 o'clock p.m. right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, AM 760, 95.1 FM, and Hawaii Sports Radio. So we hope you guys tune in, and you can text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. All right, but we are going through some of this list of players to watch out for that have Hawaii ties or they're and looking out through the draft. So we talked about Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan, projected to potentially go the highest or one of the highest of the Hawaii players. But then I saw Michael on this list. You also had offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia from BYU, but you said he more so just has some type of relation to Kahuku, projected to go around one or two.
Yeah, I think he's part of the AU bloodline.
Ah, gotcha.
And just got a confirmation that he did play with the La'ie Big Boys team. I think it's the La'ie Park Raiders. So, you know, he did spend some time here in Oahu in Hawaii and up in the North Shore. So I know the folks up at the North Shore, Kahuku, La'ie, in that area, Ho'ula. You know, I've seen banners getting printed, so they're definitely having a draft party if he gets drafted. So that's another guy to watch out for is Kingsley from BYU.
Oh, I love to look forward to that. You can imagine that they are going to party, definitely. On your list, you do have him potentially, so there is a chance that he could be drafted in the first round. You kind of have like the 1/2, so we could see him go ahead of Roman Wilson. Obviously, different positions.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome if any of our Hawaii guys get drafted in the first round, because usually that's not something you see too much out of. Usually they're either day two or day three, most likely. But if we do have a day one pick, that you know, it just kind of goes to show you that, you know, the players with Hawaii ties, they're kind of closing the gap. I mean, I think maybe outside of Marcus and Tua, there hasn't been much from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. We usually see them going late, but anything can happen in these drafts, at least from PFF. So his measurements, 21 years old, 6'6", 315 pounds. Pretty good size. Probably could, well, got to work on his speed. Have you seen much of his speed actually at that position? He looks like he's took 644 snaps at left tackle last season.
I mean, at the tackle spot, speed isn't really that much of an issue, because you're more so you want lateral quickness in defending edge rushers. More of like maybe like a guard, you want to see them maybe kind of have a bit more speed when they're pulling around the edge and opening up lanes for the running back. But yeah, for you know, that guy's a big boy. Maybe that's why they brought him down here to play some intermediate ball middle school era at the North Shore, because they definitely fed him.
Make sure he hits just that much harder, right? All right, going down the rest of your list. Now, as we mentioned, Roman projected to go in the second round, receiver out of St. Louis. And then you have Kingsley Suamataia from BYU, but was here for a little bit and played out on the La'ie side. And then you go off over to round four. You have Maris Liufau from Notre Dame / Punahou linebacker. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I haven't really seen much of his college tape, but in high school, you know, he definitely, I thought he was going to be more projected as like a kind of a safety type in the college level. To see him kind of play linebacker in the box was kind of cool, because I wasn't too sure if he had the, not necessarily the size and the length, but the bulk. But he's a guy that you can kind of, you know, that you can kind of play in whether in run coverage or in pass coverage. So I do think I might have to go check our records, but I do think he does have an interception against Tua in high school.
Ooh,
I'm not sure. I gotta check. But that'd be kind of a cool footage to pull up. But yeah, so one thing I guess from him too, maybe why he's kind of graded at round four, is that maybe he does have the versatility to whether either be a down linebacker or be in sub packages in the nickel or dime sets, where he can kind of go out and pass coverage. And then he does have the long hair. It's not as bushy as like Troy Polamalu, but he does have long hair. So any Polynesian player, any player with long flowing hair like that, you always see him on the field, and they're kind of like a red dot, where he's like, oh, this guy's gonna, you know, play with their heads on fire and make a play. So
yeah, the hair is the mana. Yeah. We know this. Now, looking at the PFF, he does have a PFF rank of 138. 23 years old, though. I kind of like that age, especially for a linebacker. If you guys have listened to this show, I like what around 22, 23 to me is when you, as a player, just because personally as a soccer player, I learned more about the sport for some reason. Like, you mature and then you learn more. You see the game differently the older you get, from high school to college and then to the next level. So I do like him at that age going into the NFL and having a lot of experience, and definitely is at that point where he can see the game. Standing at 6'2", 239. I like how they describe him here at Pro Football Focus, that they say he is a powerful downhill linebacker who attacks ball carriers and blockers with bad intentions. His instincts and feel for spot zone coverage still need work. If he is to be relied upon consistently, he is projected as a contributing inside linebacker for either a 4-3 or a 3-4 defense. That sound about right? I like that. Bad intentions.
Bad intentions. Is that a Taylor Swift song?
No. Oh. But I'm sure it's a lyric somewhere in there. Thanks for sprinkling that in there. I try not to always torture the beautiful people with my Taylor Swift references. But that wasn't me this time. It was Michael this time.
It's all in the commercials. Like, there's commercials already with Fortnite on the TV. I'm like, what is going on? It's like there was like an embargo that was lifted and everyone's like has the music. So it's amazing.
All right, let's get back on track because there are a couple of more that I want to get to before we hit our break. So you have the edge, Zion Tupuola Fetui out of Washington/Pearl City. Not projected to go too soon, but in the sixth round. So you have Zion, and then also a one that fans would be interested in hearing about, linebacker Darius Muasau Mililani, shout out Trojans. And then also, of course, was a University of Hawaii linebacker and then transferring to UCLA in that exodus of players because of Todd Graham. Thank you very much. So he is projected potentially the sixth and maybe seventh round. What are your takes from a couple of these guys?
Yeah, so, you know, Zion, you know, I got to see him in high school when he was at Pearl City, and that guy is just a beast. I think his senior year, he may have taken snaps even at quarterback. And he does have this amazing, like, pick six against Waipahu in the OIA championship game that is, like, still amazing to this day. Little fun fact about Zion Tupuola Fetui, though. He was on the Pearl City OI Boys Volleyball Championship that defeated the Kalani Falcons with Keone Thim. So it kind of goes to show you that little versatility, you know, with Zion. You know, he definitely has the hops, too. And, you know, kind of a sad story. And, you know, you kind of feel for the guy where he lost his dad recently. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think he just needs to go to a good good program where he doesn't have to be the savior right away, where he can kind of develop more and work on his game and be a contributor instead of trying to be like that day one starter. Because, you know, I mean, even on Washington, right? Washington was so deep that, you know, he was kind of like subbed in, subbed out just because of the packages. But he definitely has the size and the frame. You know, just hope that, you know, he can kind of carry that through. And there's Musau, you know, when there was the exodus because of Todd Graham, you know, everyone was kind of bummed because we lost our quarterback in Chevin. But Darius Musau was probably the bigger loss because that guy, he doesn't look like it because maybe he's not as tall as everybody else. But he just has a knack for the ball. I think I can't remember what, maybe it was San Diego State. I can't remember, but he had a pick six in one game and that just kind of took over. And he definitely has the instincts. You know, probably would be graded higher if he was a little bit taller. You know, so whatever team gets him is gonna get a steal. With Darius Musau.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, standing only at 6'1", 230. And you're right. I have to 100% agree with you. And this isn't no way a knock at Chevin one bit. But when you look at the defense, and I feel like even some of the defensive coaches know how big of a loss it was with Darius Muasau had he stayed, because our defense with the new coaching staff that came in and Timmy Chang, and then you have Coach CB with the linebackers. I mean, the future that we could have had with the defense could have been even better should Darius have stayed, because we saw the likes of Peter Manuma in the secondary, right, really show up and show out. And that would have been fun to see. However, we get it. We understand a lot and why the players left when they did. They didn't want to, but made the best decision that they could. And heck, from what I was able, with information I was privy to on things that were happening, I don't blame any one of them. So hopefully Darius ends up at a good spot. Maybe he'll be a Chicago Bear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when there were still defenders of Todd Graham, he was like, oh, if they want to leave, you know, let them leave. And then he's like, wow, he got picked up by UCLA. Guys, we messed up.
I already thought. And hey, Mililani kids, so you know I'm always going to cheer for the Mililani kids. Okay, last but certainly not least, and then we'll get to our break. Actually, 8:30. We got to get to our break, and then hopefully we can chime in with Greg Salas when we come back on Wake Up in the Den. All of the lights.
Yeah. Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Michael Lescaro, I'm Kuule Agbayani. I had Greg on, and then, you know, when technology doesn't work, as you guys know, we've been having issues with our computer and whatnot. So, Michael, for a second, please talk to the beautiful people about someone that I know that who was next on your list, quarterback Taulia Tagovailoa and Chevin Cordero, and how you have them set up in your list.
Yeah, so we got a pair of quarterbacks with Hawaii ties, or actually maybe Hawaii-born quarterbacks with Hawaii ties that might go in the late round, maybe round six, round seven, or they might be an undrafted free agent in Taulia Tagovailoa and Chevin Cordero. It's going to be, you know, it's kind of going to be interesting to see. I think Taulia probably might get a chance to get drafted more than Chevin, just because of the name, with you know, being Tua's brother. And, you know, he's been in all these, I think it was Rocket Mortgage commercials. So, you know, he's definitely, one team might take a flyer on him. And we've seen that a lot of teams, or some successful teams, have been able to find their quarterbacks late in the draft. You know, you look at the New England Patriots with Tom Brady, and then you look at, you know, the San Francisco 49ers in Brock Purdy. You know, so there are gems to be found in the late round. They just got to be kind of given a chance and be going into the right situation. One thing I do like about Taulia is that watching him in high school, I did think that he was the better pocket passer than Tua in high school. So he is a right-handed quarterback, so that also kind of no difference between right or lefty, but, you know, sometimes the ball just comes out a little bit differently from a right-handed quarterback. So, you know, he's going to be one to look for. I think for Chevin Cordero, for former St. Louis grad that did play for the University of Hawaii and did go on to San Jose State, you know, he's going to be one that I think, you know, teams would love to have in the quarterback room. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be looked at as the starter of the franchise or the future like that, but yeah, he's definitely one, because he definitely has the running ability as well as the passing ability to help any team.
All right, I think we worked out the technology situation, so I appreciate former UH and NFL wide receiver Greg Salas for being patient with us. Greg, what's up, my man? Welcome to the show on draft day.
What's up, Koo? Yeah, draft day. Are you being drafted today? What's going on now?
Oh, I'm already going. You know, Caleb Williams needs to watch out, because the Bears might just call me up to draft me number one. So I already know that's going to happen.
Yeah, if they're smart, that's what they'll do.
You know, it's kind of ironic, because some of our guys that work here at Hawaii Sports Radio Network, they are fans of the two teams or a couple of the teams that you played for, in the Los Angeles Rams and the New York Jets. I do have Michael Lescaro here, who is an LA Rams fan, so it's just kind of funny how all of this comes full circle. But no, take us back to that moment of just being a young player, looking ahead and looking forward to draft day.
Yeah, I mean, just a dream realized, I think, right? Since I've played Pop Warner football all the way up into high school and in college, you know, just to have your opportunity to get your name called on draft day was, it's kind of hard to put it into words. But I think one of the biggest feelings you have is just kind of anxiety a little bit. You're just excited and nervous to figure out where you're going to end up, right? You're just, who's going to call me, when they're going to call me. And then once that happens, it's like you forget everything else. Nothing else matters. And then you're kind of ready to get to the city and get to work.
Yeah. And actually, take us back a little bit more. What was it like even just preparing and just getting your mind right, training your body without and still being also excited and worried at the same time about where you will go next?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it pre-draft, right? I mean, selecting an agent was huge. And then once you get that kind of settled away and squared, then, you know, where you're training, the facilities you're going to be using, you know, all that good stuff. But I mean, training, it's a little bit crazy coming out of your senior year, because, you know, you have your whole year of football that you're playing, and then there's really not a break. You know, you go straight from, you know, if you're fortunate enough to, you know, some sort of all-star game, whether it's Senior Bowl or the NFLPA Bowl, all these bowl games, right? They get that kind of get put on for some of the all-stars. And then that's like a little mini draft where you get an opportunity to meet with all these coaches, have an NFL coaching staff actually coach you. So they kind of get firsthand knowledge and all the scouts are there and meetings are taking place there and how well you can process all the information. And then while all that's going on, you still have to train for the combine and for your pro day and for all those things and make sure that you're ready to go and in tip top shape for that. And then as soon as that finished and you get your call, then you're straight to the city you're at working with your quarterback or, you know, whoever, whatever position you're going to be playing to get ready for training camp. And then training camp happens. So it's really like this whole year and a half, 2 year period, your rookie year, which is why they kind of refer to the rookie wall that people hit sometimes, where you just, it's nonstop. There's no breaks, this continual information that you're just putting into your mind and body. And you just got to roll with it the best you can. And then obviously that next year you get a bit of a breather finally in an off season to kind of reset, let your body heal and then get ready for that second year.
And we are joined by former UHN NFL receiver, Greg Salas. All right, Greg, drafted 112th overall by the St. Louis Rams in the 2011 NFL draft. Sorry to tell everybody about your age there. No, just kidding. You're younger than me, so I can make fun. tell us about that moment and that process and the phone call and everything that went through your mind, just realizing that your dreams were coming true.
Oh yeah. You kind of black out, right? You're sitting there, you're waiting. It depends. Everyone's different, right? Some people want to get away and don't want to do anything, maybe go to a beach and be alone. Other people, you know, I didn't really have a choice. My parents were inviting friends, neighbors, whoever wanted to come. they had an invite, cause they're obviously very happy and proud of me. So love you, mom and dad. Thanks for that. But yeah, I mean, you're waiting for the draft. You don't sleep well, you know, the day comes on, you're watching Mel Kiper Jr. in the morning and all they're like, who's going to go? You see the board at the bottom, you're talking to your agent thinking, okay, you know, here's who I interviewed with. And I felt really comfortable. And I think we had a really good shot here. Who's receiver needy or who's, you know, your position needy. So, I mean, there's just so many things that go into it. Right. And you're just waiting for that one person to finally pull the trigger. And hopefully they do, right? But I mean, even if it doesn't happen, the journey doesn't end. I mean, how many times do we see free agents come and take the league by storm? So, you know, once that happened, I remember getting the call, yelling at everybody to shut up, and then just seeing the look on everybody's face is like, oh, I almost cursed right now. Like, oh,
yeah, no cursing.
Oh, crap, this is really happening. He just got the call right now. And then, you know, obviously you get off the phone and everyone just starts screaming and going crazy because, you know, like I said, it's like a dream. It's a childhood dream realized.
Who called you, by the way, from the organization?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Probably the GM. I know I talked to him. I talked to Steve Spagnuolo. I talked to Josh McDaniels. It was a really weird time because this was the lockout year. They weren't allowed to have contact with us, if you guys remember that, the lockout year. So they literally were only allowed to call you then and there, and that was it. You know, they said, hey, there's some weird things going on right now in the league, and Players Union are trying to figure things out at the moment, but, you know, we love you. We'll get a hold of you as soon as we can, right? You weren't even allowed to, like, kind of get the playbook or anything. So it was a really weird year. And obviously there was no OTAs or no rookie camps. There was nothing. You literally just kind of showed up at training camp, which is kind of a detriment, right? I think it's important for rookies to kind of come in and get a feel for how NFL practices are run early on. So weird year, but man, that was awesome. I remember going crazy. I remember spraying champagne bottles. I remember celebrating with my family. It was an awesome time. It was great. But, something I'll never forget.
I feel like anybody would be wanting to spray champagne bottles, getting that phone call and being drafted. Cause it's one thing, right? Like, I mean, obviously there's opportunity once the draft ends, we see a bunch of guys get like undrafted free agent deals and whatnot. But I think there's something that like, there is no second guessing once you at least get drafted at that moment. And then you have to go through the process after that, but it must be just that huge relief as we are joined by Greg Salas, former UH and Rams and all a bunch of teams, wide receiver.
Name them all.
No, but I wanted to kind of also talk to you about just because before we had you on and for the first half of the show, we were talking about some of these receivers from Hawaii or with Hawaii ties. And you being a receiver coming from the University of Hawaii, I think it's very important and a testament for people to realize that you don't necessarily need to go to a Power Five school and that that will be the end all, like be all for making it to the next level. So I just wanted you to speak upon that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll find you everywhere. I mean, how many times, you know, do you see a person from a small school come and make a big impact? And I'm not even saying Hawaii is a small school. I mean, there's smaller schools. There's those, you know, I think we used to call them double A schools, one double A schools, but everyone can come. Cooper Kupp came from Eastern Washington, right? It's really just how you translate in the work you put in. Because, you know, getting drafted is one thing. Getting a free agent deal is one thing. But the work really just begins then. You know, like you really are kind of clueless into, you know, what it takes to succeed at the next level. You know, the step up you have to take both mentally and physically to prepare yourself. Because now it becomes a job. This is what you do 24/7. It's year round, taking care of your body. It's doing all those things. But, you know, if you go to a Power Five school and they run the ball a bunch, you know, but I think everyone's kind of moving to more of a spread offense anyways. But, you know, if you're here and you're dominating the competition, you're getting more eyes on yourself. If you come to Hawaii and you're catching 15 balls a game, people are going to notice that. People are going to see, wow, this person's can really catch the ball. It's natural at catching the ball, can run routes. Knows how to separate, understands defenses and concepts to work with the quarterback to get open, which might not necessarily get going to another school, right? I think you want to go to a school where opportunity is going to be of abundance, not where you're fighting for two or three catches a game, although people can make it doing that as well, right? We've seen plenty of players take those three catches and make big plays out of them. You know, people from Georgia, there's been how many great receivers come from Georgia Tech, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, and they throw the ball 10 times a game. Right. So It is what you do with your opportunities, but at the University of Hawaii, running the run and shoot, you know, you're going to get ample opportunity every game. You know, it's not a question of, you know, am I going to catch the ball a couple times this game? Or it's more like, yeah, I'm ready to catch a couple balls in the first quarter, in the first drive this game. So I think that's the appealing part of coming to the University of Hawaii is having those opportunities to put up crazy numbers, you know, if you're able to do so.
All right, Greg, last one for you. A very important question because we got to settle this debate, being that you played on a couple of teams where our guys are fans of. Now, you are from Chino, California, however, but do you cheer for all of the teams you played for collectively, or do you have a hands down favorite NFL team?
You know, I will always have a lot of love for the team that drafted me, obviously, that gave me the opportunity that, you know, helped my dreams come true. So the Rams, I do, but I don't really root for any specific team anymore. I think I like to see good football. I like to see, you know, it's like reality TV. Who's going to be good this year? Who's the underdog? Who's a young player that I think is up and coming, and I like their game and I like the team, the way that how scrappy they are, or, you know, the offense they run or defense they play. Right. I think a lot of things go into which teams I'm really rooting for. But I mean, obviously, anytime my teams are playing, I'm kind of pulling for them as well.
How about pre-football career? Who was the NFL team that you used to root for?
Ooh, Raiders. The Raiders.
Oh,
I was
okay.
A big Raiders fan growing up. Big Raiders fan. Charles Woodson, got to play against him, which was another crazy dream realizing moment for me, especially growing up watching him play and how good he was. But the Raiders were, I mean, that was my team growing up. You know, Charlie Gardner, Rich Gannon, Tim Brown, even Jerry Rice was, you know, putting up some great numbers with us on there. So that was fun for me and my family to watch the Raiders growing up.
All right, Greg, I know you are a busy guy with the full-time job and you just dropped the kids off and everything and got to get your day started. But thank you so much for making the time to join us and talk about the draft coming up later today.
Oh, of course. Anytime you need me, I'm here for sure.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Greg Salas, former UH and NFL wide receiver and Hopefully Paul isn't tuning in right now, because I know it's like it's his Jets heart. Although I forgot to, I did tell Greg before that, hey, did you know that like the Jets like fandom really actually love you? Like, and he just chuckled as he always does. I'm like, they apparently there's like a whole Discord about how awesome of a Jets receiver you were.
Oh, well, the Rams kind of did Greg dirty, so I didn't want to. I was kind of surprised. Well, he was right, because they got drafted. He got drafted in the lockout season. So NFL. So the thing with the lockout season was NFL free agency didn't even take place yet.
Mm-hmm.
NFL free agency took place in like August. Normally the NFL free agency is before the draft, but it took place in August. And then, you know, he got thrusted into prime time on the week two of Monday Night Football against the Giants. And there was a few plays that I'm sure he doesn't want to remember. And I won't bring it up. You know, Greg Salas is my favorite Hawaii receiver of all time. But and then he got hurt also that season. But he did help us get our first win of the season. We only had like two. and he made AJ Feely look like an all-star. But yeah, he got drafted in the Steve Spagnuolo era, which now Steve Spagnuolo is like highly touted because he's on the Chiefs. But and we had Josh McDaniels, who's not as touted, but he just kind of got screwed because we traded for a receiver like early in the season. And like in round three, we also drafted Austin Pettis, another like possession guy from Boise. And then next year, Jeff Fisher came in, and then it would just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think Rams fans want to remember the Fisher era of the St. Louis Rams. Although that made for a very good Hard Knocks. I don't know. It was kind of exciting to watch when it came to Hard Knocks for some reason.
When he got fired? Yeah, that was cool.
Anywho, way up against the clock, so we'll be right back to close out the show and chat a little bit more about some of the local guys to watch out for in the NFL draft on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Michael Lescaro, I'm Ku'ule Agbayani, closing out the show, finishing up our NFL Draft Talk Part 1 of the day. As the Den is officially, we are dubbing the Den the War Room for today, because we are got a bunch of NFL draft stuff going on. Not only today, again, thank you to Greg Salas for joining us in the previous segment to talk about just the NFL draft experience as he, former Hawaii receiver, gets drafted by the St. Louis Rams, and the rest is history. But yes, we will have our 3-hour show this afternoon to take you through the pick by pick of the NFL draft. So tune in from 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. I like to joke, but I honestly don't think it's that much of a joke that if something happens and Caleb Williams did not go number one to the Chicago Bears, you will have only Michael and Paul for the rest of the show. And I have already warned them that I hope they prepped enough for in the event that I would peace out and be so angry if the Chicago Bears do not take Caleb Williams number one overall. And according to the betting market, I mean, a lot of people would be upset, and I don't even know who would bet Caleb Williams at this moment to go number one overall, but like minus 100 or 10,000.
But how much money would Vegas win if Caleb Williams didn't go to number one?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, you'd be crazy town if you're going to, well, there's a lot of people that have that kind of money to just splurge on looking at odds like that to just give their money away. It's like, it would be ridiculous. But nonetheless, now you're looking at the rest of the rankings. The second overall pick, you have Jaden Daniels at minus 1,000 to go number two overall. Drake May, you get another quarterback at minus 300 to go third overall. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. with the fourth overall pick. Now, which team will it be that he goes to? Who knows, at minus 275? I've seen a bunch of mock drafts that it seems like the question mark is with the Arizona Cardinals. I even saw a one mock draft with the Cardinals like taking Malik Nabers at that fourth overall, which I'm like, that's ridiculous. But I would love that as a Bears fan, because that could give hope and opportunity that Marvin Harrison Jr. could fall into your lap. But we'll see what happens.
If there's a trade, does your bet get voided?
it's all, you're just picking where they're going to go.
Wow.
Yeah. So if there's a trade and that player, so like if the Bears traded everything away and a team moves up to number one and Caleb Williams still gets drafted, you still, that's like your bet still hits because it's all about where the player actually goes. So you have to anticipate if you're a better, and that's why our VSiN guys are the expert, where they have like these betting draft guides. But we know every bet is a risk. Like there's no anything with 100% certainty, even though the odds for Caleb Williams looks like this. But it's all about where they end up in the draft. So it's like, that's why it's fascinating to see how a lot of these professional handicappers examine the draft, because you're almost like anticipating trades that could potentially happen and thinking that a team that trades in that spot will take that potential or that particular player, which could get fascinating kind of like midway through the first round, I can imagine. And I'm sure Vegas is just like on fire with people just like, and now with mobile betting, oh my goodness, it must be insane for people to just be like, this is who I'm going to think is going to go. And you just see the odds keep changing in real time.
I think that's why it's a little bit more tight-lipped, because the NFL is partners with some of these betting services. So there's not that many leaks. And if there's a leak, you probably lost your job. So that's why everything's been kind of quiet. I mean, it's almost like you see, like Brock Bowers is almost a sure thing at the Jets. That's what everyone is picking, which tells me he's not going to go to the Jets at number 10 because everyone's going to put money on there, and that's not going to happen. Sorry, Paul.
So it's crazy that you brought that up, because on the Lombardi line on my drive over here, they had someone on and his name escapes me, but he was saying that this has been one of the hardest drafts to predict because it's been more tight-lipped than ever. And just a few years ago, he said everyone kind of knew where Trey Lance was going. That's why you saw really, really, really sharp movement in the betting lines with that third pick. And this year, you're not really seeing any drastic movement in the lines because nobody really knows. There's no leaks yet. We'll see what happens. But from when I looked when the show started, it seems like everything is kind of status quo on here. Now, the interesting thing, though, is how I mentioned, you know, Malik Nabers. I saw a mock draft that he could go to the Arizona Cardinals, but at least in terms of BetMGM odds, he is 15-1 to go fourth overall. And could that be because there's a trade potentially? Because that's the interesting spot to look out for if we're just looking in the top 10 on what the Cardinals do with that. If that's where the Bears were picking, I would say you stay there and you get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, there's no way. But if there's talk or someone gets draft day about the Chargers, who are right behind him, which is all, I don't believe that fluff that's going out there that the Chargers are going to try to draft JJ McCarthy and all that jazz. So I don't think that's happening. But then you also have the Giants, or if they want to get a quarterback.
Yeah. I wonder if Vegas pays people to make crazy, all kinds of mock drafts to encourage like these bets, because if that's the case, I'm gonna have to put my resume in, you know.
You're like, I can make any kind of mock draft.
Because like, if there's all these crazy mock drafts, like, what's the whole point of this? But if there's some incentive to make people make crazy bets, then I'm all for it.
Again, I just think people just want to throw stuff out there for the clickbait and throw out all these crazy tinfoil hat ideas. Nonetheless, Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears, and hopefully a wide receiver or an edge rusher at the number 9 or higher spot for the Bears. But we got to start wrapping up our opening of the NFL draft on Hawaii Sports Radio Network. So be sure you guys tune in at 2 o'clock p.m. today. 2 to 5, we'll be on here, Michael, Paul, and myself for our special NFL draft show. So we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.